In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, and I am so glad you are joining us in our journey through the book of Exodus. We are in Exodus chapter 20, 4 through 6, looking at the second commandment. And let me read the passage to refresh yourself. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love and keep my commandments. Now, this is a significant commandment. It's the second one that follows, you shall have no other gods before me. And we've been talking about idolatry and the role that it plays in the history of Israel, how it was a stumbling block to the nation. And God anticipated this with these commandments. And this is a commandment of a loving father to his children saying, don't go down this road. Idols will entangle you in sin. They will trip you up and they will be your downfall. And we looked at the way God judges idolatry. And there are quite a few examples in Israel of their idolatrous failures. Let me give you an example. Exodus 32, 1 through 4. You'll know this as soon as I start reading. And when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, we know what later happens. Moses comes down from the mountain and confronts Aaron. And this results in many deaths and judgment by God. But that's really their first idolatrous failure. Jeremiah 7:18 says this, the children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, the women knead dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven, and they pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Another just ruinous time of Israel. And Hosea 4:12, my people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them, for the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. This gives us insight to what can happen, not just to Israel, but to all of us. We can let idols become our objects of worship. Now, what does the Bible have to say about idols? It's quite a bit, and it's quite amazing. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 18, what profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it to make mute idols. Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath of all. Psalm 115, verse 4 through 8, probably, in my opinion, expresses what God thinks of idols and idolatry. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them, and here is the strongest words, those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. What a statement of condemnation. And so you can see God, who loves Israel and wants to bless them and wants them to avoid sin, is calling them, stay away from idols. It is going to be your end. you will be like them. I mean, what a warning from the book of Psalms. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2 through 5. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of a workman. With the axe, they decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree, and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they can do no evil, nor can they do any good. And that's a great reminder that Israel at that time, when they saw the other nations with their idols, parading them around, all prideful, calling upon curses, and God saying, look, idols are nothing. I am the God of the universe. Trust in me. Forsake those idols. But another incredible passage is Isaiah 44:12. Listen to this. The blacksmith with the tongs works one in the coals, fashions it with hammers, and works it with the strength of his arms. Even so, he is hungry, and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The craftsman stretches out his rule. He marks out one with chalk. He fashions it with a plane. He marks it out with the compass and makes it like the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He cuts down cedars for himself and takes cypress and the oak. He secures for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a pine and the rain nourishes it, that it shall be for a man to burn. For he will take some of it and warm himself. Yes, he kindles it and bakes bread. Indeed, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it a carved image and falls down to it. He burns half of it in the fire, and with this half, he eats his meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. He even warms himself and says, ah, I am worn. I have seen the fire. And the rest of it he makes into a god, his carved image. He falls down before it and worships it, prays to it, and says, deliver me, for you are my God. They do not know nor understand, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so they cannot understand. And no one considers in his heart, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned half it in the fire. Yes, I have baked breads on its coals. I have roasted meat and eaten it. And shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood? He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, and he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? What a contradiction that a person who embraces idolatry knowingly cuts down a tree, that it's only a tree for fire and for fuel, and yet he takes that block of wood and he worships it. This is the danger of idolatry. Now, what are the implications? Why is God commanding this? Certainly so that Israel would not stumble, but there's more to it than this. First, God is spirit, and therefore any image would be wholly inappropriate. John 4:24, Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. See, God does not want you to think of him like an idol. He is infinite. He is spirit, and he wants you to worship him in truth. Another implication of this command is that idolatry leads one away from true devotion to God. Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, speaking of these unbelievers, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. But there's another implication. Idolatry always results in sin. Romans 1:24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Do you see that exchange that takes place? And the idols of your heart is exactly that. You make an exchange for worship and devotion to the true creator for a thing. How insulting that must be to our God, who created you, who has made you, who loves you, who has sent his son that died for you, and you would give all that up for an idol? See, idolatry is ultimately a heart issue. Now, before you start to think, well, I don't bow down to any blocks of wood, be careful, because idolatry is not merely that extension of worshiping some block of wood that's covered with gold, silver, or some other material. Colossians 3:5 reveals the source of all idolatry. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Do you get that? See, idols is just a mere extension of what's really going on in your thoughts and in your hearts. And if you really study idolatry and idol worship in other countries, you'll see it's just a cloak. It's a cover for them to do what their heart wants them to do. And that's what that list does. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. All those are connected to idolatry. And you may not bow down to a block of wood, but are you involved in those sins? Is your heart bent on passion and evil desire and covetousness and fornication? This is the heart of idolatry. The idol is just an extension, a way of expressing that. And when you bow down to an idol, you are bowing down to your flesh, to your lust, and to your pride. And so when this commandment was given, it was much more than just the idols that the Gentile nations were building and bowing down to. Oh, this, brothers and sisters, goes much deeper. It goes to the heart. And so before we wrap up this commandment and go to the next one, I want you to think about this for a minute. When you look at your life, you have to first begin to look at what you do. And what you do, the actions that you commit, the things that you spend time with, those actions are a byproduct of your thoughts, are they not? So you think, so you shall do. But your thoughts are driven by your motives, your desires. And that is where it all begins, in the heart. And if your heart says, I want, and fill in the blank, then your thoughts will obsess and your thoughts will lead to actions. But if your heart has the affections of God rather than the world, then your thoughts are going to be godly thoughts. You'll have the fear of God before you. And when you live, you'll live in a holy, righteous, obedient way out of love to God, because that is where it all begins, in that heart. And if there's idols in there, you are in trouble. And the only solution you have is to cry out to God, repent of those things, remove those idols from your heart with His power and strength, get back in the Word, start praying, and start serving. Say no to sin and say yes to God, and let your desires be the things that God desires. Well, we are just about out of time. And as you meditate this week on this commandment, thou shalt have no idols, make sure you understand we're not just talking about blocks of wood, but those ungodly desires that reside in your heart, those inappropriate affections for the world. And may you remember what James says, those who love the world make themselves an enemy of God. Well, until next time, may you stay faithful to God and His Word, and may you remove those idols in your life by His power.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.